Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Beth, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
But her question mischaracterized Joe Biden's comments. She asked him a question about whether or not he was confident. Why are you so confident Putin will change his behavior, Mr. President? Joe Biden never said that. And so that sort of is, you know, journalism 101. You can't mischaracterize someone's words, especially not the president. But Joe Biden overreacted. He shouldn't have reacted that way. I think he cussed as well in response. And that is conduct unbecoming of the office. And I know people want to say, well, this is like, you know, Uncle Joe. But Uncle Joe is now the president of the United States. And while that was a really long trip, eight-day trip on foreign soil, he is older. I'm sure he was exhausted. He has to maintain the temperament of the president of the United States. So I was disappointed that he reacted that way. But I'm pleased that he apologized, something that you don't see, haven't seen in the past 4 years.
Sunny Hostin from ABC is a disaster. She right there, she criticizes everybody, but then makes excuses for them all at the same time. You know, first of all, she gets into a cat fight with Caitlin Collins. And then, it's my cat fight sound. And then she has to apologize for Joe Biden while criticizing him at the same time. Just be critical of me. And how funny is that, that she is critical of Caitlin Collins saying, well, when you're questioning the president of the United States, you can't mischaracterize his words. How about what Jim Acosta did every single day of his career?
Or what she did to Trump every single day she's on The View.
Yes.
Just really quickly before we move on, I follow Meghan McCain. She is my favorite. I love her. I know she's not everybody's cup of tea. But later on in that interview, after Sunny, she got to say what she wanted to say about the whole interaction. And she and Whoopi actually got into a really mean argument with one another on air, because Meghan was like, this is absolutely insane that you're all on here defending the president. What if this was Trump? Like, I hate Trump, but I'm sitting here telling you, you would all be acting a completely different way and be speaking about the president in a completely different way if this was Trump. I cannot believe you're all on here defending Joe Biden like this. And she and Whoopi kind of got into a back and forth. So there is a little bit of sanity on that show.
Maybe. Let's see if there's a little bit of sanity here with our next guest, or if he wants to snap at me when I ask him tough questions. St. Louis County Councilman Mark Carter joining us now on the Annie Fry Show. Good afternoon, Mr. Councilman. How you doing?
Is this Sanity Friday?
Yeah, no, it's Freedom Friday. Get it straight. There you go.
Oh, okay.
There you go. I snapped at you.
Get those mixed up.
Yeah.
Yep, there you are.
So, St. Louis County Councilman Mark Carter, our guest now on the Annie Fry Show. Oh, by the way, folks, good afternoon. It's Friday. It's June 18th, 2021, 2:10 p.m. here in the Heartland. Mark, what a great week for you all on the county council. You all now, courtesy of the Missouri legislature, get to actually have an official role into whether or not we do anything crazy like lock down the entire county ever again for a virus with a 99.9% recovery rate.
Right. I mean, Friday started out the week on Monday about the governor signing Bill 271. And this was a great bill for St. Louis County and a lot of counties around the state.
Oh, shoot. Did we just lose him?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll get him. I'll call him back real quick.
We'll get him back. We'll see if we can get Mark back on. So
you asked him too hard of a question.
He was like, I'm out.
I can't. I don't know what to do.
Too much pressure.
Get me out of here.
He seemed happy about it.
I'm going through a tunnel.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. See you. So he was referring to the bill that the governor signed that so many of our local representatives worked on. We talked about this bill with State Senator Bob Onder, I believe, early in the week, that this bill was coming down the pike, going to be signed by the governor, the anti-COVID tyranny. And look, the left lunatics who enjoyed having St. Louis County shut down and having so many mom-and-pop businesses put out of business, and I'm sorry to say that, but you all appeared to be just so happy, happy joy. All your big box stores could be open so you could all go get your toilet paper and your Clorox wipes, but you didn't want to save restaurants, mom-and-pop restaurants here in the county of St. Louis. So you're all now screaming and yelling about local control, local control. Well, if you read the bill, you'll actually realize that this just stops Sam Page from being the Fauci of St. Louis County, having one person in charge of every single public health decision, and it instead actually inserts the elected members of the county council, the representatives of the people, the ones who are closest to the people in their districts, and it allows them to weigh in on any kind of further restrictions down the pike. That seems to make a lot of sense.
So it's more local control.
It's more local control.
In this situation, though, in St. Louis County, let's say we went through this whole thing again and this law was in place. Didn't the county council kind of agree with Sam Page? Like, wouldn't it just have allowed the same thing to happen in the future if it was the same people involved?
I'm sorry, say that again.
So you said Sam Page was kind of making these decisions unilaterally.
All on his own, yes.
But wasn't the county council, weren't they kind of behind him? So
no.
If the same, they weren't,
no,
they
no.
were fighting him?
They were.
So this wouldn't have happened if this bill were in place.
Yes. In fact, the county council had a very strange bipartisan majority of two Republicans and two black Democrats from North County who were combining together for a majority of 4 out of 7. And they actually passed a resolution or something to that effect saying, no, we want to have the ability to check you on this. Ah. And he said, you don't have that ability. So the Missouri legislature said, up, over here, we'll help. And here's the thing. The state, everybody gets this backwards because I guess we don't teach civics anymore. The state is the parent in this equation. The state is the parent of all local governments in our state. And in most states, almost in every state. And the state is technically the parent over the federal government. We are a union of sovereign states. Nobody wants to talk about that anymore or acknowledge it, but we are. The state is absolutely the parent on the county of St. Louis, the city of St. Louis, the county of whatever, because the state created those jurisdictions itself. So they're subject to it. So the state came in and said, you know what? Fine. We're not going to say as the state that we know in every situation what is good for the county of St. Louis. But we have a feeling that the elected representatives, the county council people, may know better. And you know what? They should work in conjunction with the county executive and should have a check and balance on him. So the county executive, Sam Page, said, well, the county executive can pass whatever ordinances or resolutions or whatever it wants. I'm just going to ignore them because that's not the law. Mm-hmm. So the Missouri legislature said, we're going to make it the law. So they passed a new law that said this will be now the procedure moving forward. Anytime these situations happen again where one person cannot make all the decisions for the health, the public safety, and the welfare of the citizens of the county of St. Louis.
So in the future, like now that this law is the way it is, would this have affected, well, first of all, Kansas City. I don't know anything about what's going on the west side of the state. Would this have changed anything there, and would this have changed anything in the city of St. Louis?
So the bill, you're not supposed to pass special legislation. So unfortunately, sometimes legislation is crafted in a sneaky way to be special legislation. But my understanding is that even the rural legislators got involved in this, and that this bill is truly a statewide bill, because what happens sometimes in the rural areas regarding a totally different issue, this is not meant to be special legislation just for COVID-19, because COVID-19 is largely in our rearview mirror. So the rural legislators got involved because they said, you know what? We have these public health authorities out in rural Missouri that are constantly trying to do unfair rulemaking and regulating of our agricultural businesses. That's what happens. Separate and apart from COVID stuff, like some of these big hog farms or cattle farms, you got these do-gooders coming in telling you to, like, shampoo your pigs, you know, and stuff like that, to give you a crazy example that may not be so far from the truth sometimes. And so the rural legislators got involved with the Missouri Farm Bureau and said, you know what? If we're going to fix this problem globally for the state, thinking of all possible, let's try to draft a comprehensive global piece of legislation. So, Ryan, the rural legislators got involved, and this bill ended up passing in a pretty overwhelming fashion. I don't know if it was bipartisan or not, but it was definitely agreed upon, I think, by a supermajority of Republicans in both chambers. So it's a good – and you notice once this all – once this all got passed and done, you notice how quickly Sam Page dropped all the rest of his orders, stopped having press conferences. Crisis over.
Yep.
And now what's he doing? Is he rebuilding the county of St. Louis?
Where is Sam Page?
Yeah. This was his thing, I guess.
Where is he?
Does he have nothing else to say? He has nothing else to offer us?
Well, COVID's over.
He's trying to get a new coronavirus lab to move to St. Louis County.
Yeah.
I have a
the
question.
The Wuhan lab. Isn't that funny it's named that?
Do you know anyone that was okay with how Sam Page handled COVID?
Unfortunately,
in St. Louis County.
I'm assuming I know a lot of people because he got reelected easily.
Oh, yeah.
In the midst of all of this.
Yeah. Now, on the streets, no. Anecdotally, like not even anecdotally, I talked to a lot of people. I never could find it. I'm not saying there was any fraud in the election, but I never could find anybody. I guess because everybody who supported him was hiding at home. But I could never find anybody there who was like, yeah, Sam Page is the man. I'm so glad our restaurants are shut down and all these businesses are closing. That's kick ass, you know? I mean, like, nobody was, like, standing up for him. And so I don't know who – I guess people were just – you know, when he got reelected, we were going back into the throes of this thing a little bit. And I think people got nervous. And they're like, well, he is a doctor, and so I guess – and I, you know what? There's also a lot of power in name ID.
Yeah, there is.
And I was a big Mark Montavani guy who was running as a Democrat. So there you go. Tim Jones, the bipartisan. I was a big Mark Montavani guy, but I think because of the pandemic, Mark Montavani just was not able to ever get his campaign clicking on all 12 cylinders. And Mark Cox supported Mark Montavani, I believe, as
I
well.
Heard
you get
too.
Mark Cox and Tim Jones support a Democrat, then it's maybe a cold day and you know what. But we did, because we felt that even though he was running as a Democrat, that Mark Montavani was kind of an old-fashioned, old-school, business-friendly Democrat. Very few of those left anymore. And we just couldn't get the word out. So I don't know if Jake Zimmerman, who was the third person in the race, was a spoiler or not. I don't know. I don't understand Democratic Party politics, so I don't try to understand the lunacy. So.
Well, I think you must be right, though, because if there were seven council members and two of them were Republicans, they're obviously hearing from their constituents, please open things back up. But then there were two Democrat council members hearing from their constituents, please open things back up. To buck your own party, it must be pretty strong. And to buck the head of the whole thing and say we're going against you, there must have been a groundswell of people saying, please open up.
And to say that Sam Page was protecting anybody is such a much a hooey. Because look at all, isn't everybody's job essential? Why was it safe, Sam Page? If that's truly the case, that Sam Page was protecting us by locking us down, then how come the people at the grocery store could go to work? How come the people at the big box stores could go to work? What about the postal workers? They could go to work. What about the doctors, the pharmacists, the radio people? We could all go to work.
Media's fine.
How come we could all go to work and that was fine and that was not a violation of anything, but yet restaurant people couldn't go to work where they're cleaning everything and people are sitting in groups at tables. So we lost Mark Carter. I think his phone must have died. We're going to have to go to him. We've got Dan Vargas coming up next. And maybe we could talk to Mark 240 or so. We'll try to talk to him for another few minutes. I think Nancy Pelosi got a hold of his cell phone. I think that's what it is.
Let's just assume.
When we come back, we're going to speak to Dan Vargas, founder and president of Operation Triage, a U.S. Marine veteran. There's a great event coming, Freedom Jam 2021, held in my hometown of Eureka at Brookdale Farms. What is that all about? We'll talk to Dan Vargas when we come back at 97.1 FM Talk.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And welcome back. It's definitely Friday, gang. It's just complete chaos.
It is. And we love it. We thrive in the chaos.
Annie always talks about Fridays in this way, too. And I'm like, now I get it.
Yes. You know? Oh, yeah.
Makes you feel alive.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, by the time you're into hour 15 of a week of shows, plus the countless hours that surround it. I mean, you know, during the day, the night before, the morning of, Katie and Ryan and I, and, you know, Annie does, you know, everybody's texting everybody, and we're confirming guests, and articles are flying around. It's like, there's a lot of prep.
Mm-hmm, there
you
is.
You don't just, like, walk in and flip the switch.
Yep.
It is radio magic, though.
We try to make it that way.
You never stop, right?
You don't.
It's a 24-7 job.
You just never stop.
Nope.
24-7 job.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you might miss something. So you got to be, like, paying somewhat attention.
Always plugged
in. And everything is content. Everything is content. Yes. Everything you do, everything you observe, everything you see, everything you read, everything is content.
And I'm very blessed to have this experience all the time. Had it again last night. Walked into, I played a little golf yesterday. Yes, I'm one of those people that plays golf in the 100 degree heat. Played one of my best rounds of the year, actually. And but I was smart enough. I usually walk. And because of the way some things happened last night, I had to take a cart. And you know what? I was glad I did because it was hot, and I survived, and I drank lots of water, and maybe had some vodka at the end. But anyway, walked into the little grill at the end, and there was a group of guys, different group, and one of them was like, "Hey, there's Tim Jones," and the two guys at the table were like, "Oh, really?" And it was two fans of the show.
That's awesome.
Oh, fans cool. of the station.
Cool, very cool.
Love it.
And they were great Americans, and just big shout out. I didn't get their names, but they were with one of the fellas I play with, Mark Kimberlin and Chris Cutting. And I was playing with one of my usual groups with my buddies Bill and Mike and the gang, and we had a good time. So anyways, it's so nice to run into people like that, and they ask you questions, right? And you're like your brain's on something else. And so, yeah, you're always dealing with content in and around.
Yep.
So speaking of my hometown region of the great city of Eureka and the surrounding environs, I'm going to bring in now a fellow who's doing a big event there later on in the summer. And I want to thank Eureka Police Chief Mike Wiegand for hooking me up with these guys. He and Fire Chief Greg Brown are always on the lookout for stuff like this because they are so dedicated to not only being in the emergency services world and the military world, but also helping people in those worlds. And here's another great way for us to help. And joining us now here on the Annie Fry Show is Dan Vargas, the founder and president of Operation Triage, a U.S. Marine veteran. Dan, thank you so much for your service. Thank you for what you're doing now in serving our country. And welcome to the Annie Fry Show.
Thank you. So just one correction. I'm a United States Air Force veteran.
Air Force veteran. Very good. Very good. Well, thank you for your
service. I don't want to get any Marines mad at me.
No, we don't. I understand how that is. I have a lot of friends in all the different branches. I get it. So, Dan, first of all, tell us about Operation Triage. What is Operation Triage? What do you all do?
We're a 501(c) that was established to help veterans, active duty military, first responders, that are needing a hand up. You know, we all come to a point in our lives where we might be going through something where we need financial emergency help, home repairs, home remodels due to injuries. So we're to help those that are basically providing the blanket of freedom we sleep under. So our goal is to help those that never ask for anything.
And, Dan, I've noticed the most successful charities, they always figure out a shtick, and I don't say that in a bad way. They figure out a neat thing, a hook, something to get people interested, something to people get excited where they're going to get something out of it, but they also feel good giving back through it. And it looks like you all have found the sweet spot on that. You've created a mission through—you've got this mission going through a neat event called Freedom Jam. So have you been doing Freedom Jams for a while, and what are Freedom Jams?
Well, actually, Freedom Jam is basically set up by Brian and a group of volunteers there out of Missouri, which have really taken to heart our nonprofit. And they put on this event. This is the second year. They put it on last year during COVID,
wow,
which was really a hard year for us to raise funds. But they were very successful with last year, even during COVID going on, to raise funds. And they're doing it again this year. You know, just like a lot of nonprofits last year, we took a big hit of not being able to help as many as we could or do fundraisers like we usually do. But Brian and his crew stuck to their guns and was able to pull off a successful event. They had 11 bands show up as an all-day event, and they're doing it again this year. And we're hoping it's even bigger and better than the first year.
Fantastic.
So hats off to everybody in there, Missouri, because, you know, we can't do what we do without the public's help. You know, we're asking for a dollar here, a dollar there. If everybody gave us a dollar, we could do a lot of things to help change a lot of lives.
So I noticed you're bringing Freedom Jam to the St. Louis region, and Freedom Jam is coming to Brookdale Farms out in beautiful Eureka, Missouri. I know where that is. It's about 5 minutes from my house. Saturday, August 28th. Tell us what folks can expect at Freedom Jam this year at Brookdale Farms on Saturday, August the 28th.
Oh, my God. We're going to have 11 bands. It's going to be an all-day event starting at 11 a.m. You pay $30 to get in. We're going to have attractions for the kids to do, food vendors. We'll have a booth there to explain more of our programs, and we'll have a silent auction going on. And it's just a great way of camaraderie. It'll be a lot of veterans coming out to attend and hopefully some first responders from the area. And it's just a way to get together and show support for those who provide so much for us. You know, a lot of people forget that we've been at war the last 20 years in Afghanistan. We're finally pulling out of there. But just because we're pulling out of the war doesn't mean the need's not there. We have so many veterans that are dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder and traumatic brain injuries, the signature injuries of these wars, mm-hmm. that they come home and there's a lot of resources not there for them. So we're just trying to do our part in helping them. And the thing I love about Operation Triage is we think outside the box. We're not cookie cutter where we have, hey, we only do this one thing, and if we can't help you, we're sorry. No, we find a way to help all veterans in need. And if we can't do it, we'll find a nonprofit that can help them.
I'm on your Facebook page right now for Freedom Jam, and if you go to Facebook and just type in Freedom Jam 2021, you'll see all the things that you can expect at the concert, all the ways you can contribute, how to purchase tickets, so on and so forth. It's Saturday, August 28th, 11:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. So Dan, you could go out at any point during the day, right? You can just go out, you know, get tickets ahead of time, go out, whatever you need to do during the day, right? Just come and go as you please, kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, just come and go. Bring the family. It's a family event. We look forward to everybody coming out from the area. We're doing a lot of things in the Missouri area to help veterans. I was actually stationed at Whiteman Air Force Base.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite duty assignments. It was there. So I know how the Missouri people are and how supportive they are of their first responders and military. So we look forward to seeing a lot of people come out and, you know, enjoy the show. But realize also what you're mainly coming out is to help support those who are there for us. And so it's a great time to enjoy yourself, have a great time, but you're also giving back at the same time.
Yep, it says all proceeds raised will benefit veterans, active military, and first responders. Dan, I imagine you have all kinds of food and stuff like that as well. People can they can spend the day there, too, if they want.
Yes, sir. We'd love to have them out there for the whole day. Come out and mingle, make some new friends, learn more about what we're doing. Enjoy some great upcoming bands that you'll probably see later on in the future that are going to be big headliners. So come and meet them now. And enjoy the day. It'll be a beautiful day, especially after with COVID, with everything that's gone on with COVID. what a way to get out and celebrate freedom.
And I love the top post you have, the pinned post on your page. You have it right there in full Technicolor about how that Freedom Jam and Operation Triage is a long post, but it's worth reading. I just read through it. It shows how the money is being utilized to help the veterans with all kinds of things, right? Home repairs, remodeling, it providing so many services for veterans who may not know where else to turn.
Yes, sir. Veterans and first responders. We do home repair, home remodeling. We pay for funeral expenses for veterans, for elderly veterans that passed away, and the family didn't have money to bury the veteran. We put in ramps. We've donated wheelchairs to veterans in need. We've had donated vehicles that we repaired and given them to veterans that need them. Just a full gamut of out of the box, you know, what the need is to make their life better.
Fantastic. Dan Vargas, thanks so much for joining us today, the founder and president of Operation Triage and an Air Force veteran. They're bringing Freedom Jam right here to the St. Louis area. They've also got it, I believe, in other places around Missouri. Go to Freedom Jam 2021 on Facebook. Dan, thanks for everything you've done for our country and everything you continue to do for all of our veterans, military folks, and first responders.
Thank you, sir, and thank you for the time to let us get this word out. And thank you to everybody in Missouri for always supporting these causes. And hopefully we get a lot of people out there and able to lift up a lot of families in that area that need our help.
Fantastic. Thank you, Dan. Godspeed to you.
Thank you. God bless.
Okay, thank you. There we go. That sounds like a great time. Brookdale Farms, let me tell you. My buddy, I'm going to give Jerry Kirk free plug here. He's a former St. Louis County police officer. He got injured in the line of duty and basically created – he's an entrepreneur. He left the force after being on the force for a long time. He had a line of duty injury. And he said, you know, I think I'm going to go do something else now. And he's the guy who does the carriages down at the ballpark. That's one of his businesses. And then he created a home for the horses out in Eureka at Brookdale Farms. And Brookdale Farms has become like the primary business now. He went from having the horses out there to like having a little, not little, he built a pavilion. He had some outdoor events, kind of some 2-3 season events. And he started doing like 5K runs and mud runner runs and things like that. And then he's like, you know, people like coming out here. He built an event space called The Barn, and it looks like a good old-fashioned barn. It's new, but it looks old. You know, it actually has some old stuff incorporated in it, a lot of brick and stone and things and outdoor fireplaces. And so that turned into a venue where there's, like, weddings and birthday parties and even dance recitals during COVID, you know, because Jefferson County was one of the free counties. And you could do stuff there, all very safely done. I attended some stuff there. And then I hear he told me the other day he's built a new venue, and so – I mean, talk about, like, something from nothing.
Love
I mean,
it.
Literally just bought a bunch of land, a bunch of it floodplain, out in Jefferson County, just south of Eureka, and turning it into, like, a destination spot. They do pumpkin patch. They do
so
scarecrow
cool.
stuff. They do he does float trip stuff on the big river there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, from one little seed of an idea into something that just keeps continuing to grow and grow and grow, and he does so much stuff where he just donates his space and his land and his venue sites to things like Freedom Jam.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a lot of other stuff as well. So just a great American.
Yeah,
so big shout out to Jerry. And now all of his friends, Chief Brown and Wiegand, are like, why are you saying nice things about Jerry Kirk? You know, they tease him endlessly. You know,
it's so really great whenever you see someone take something like that and really give back to the community in some way. I mean, it's really hard to get a small little idea like that going, and for him to get back to the community and kind of build something around so that the community around him can really prosper, that's amazing. That's awesome.
Go ahead.
A little bit different subject.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever been to Johnson Shut-ins?
Of course.
You know, I never have.
I haven't either.
I've never have.
It's growing up, I heard about it.
It's like a place where you like party in the summertime, right?
It's like a natural playground, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can swim. There's really cool areas around it where, like, you can kind of rock climb. It's so, so fun. I love it.
How far away? About an hour, hour and a half?
Yeah, I'd say like an hour.
Oh, that's farther than I thought. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Southeast, go down 55.
Just
maybe?
Whenever it gets this hot, we always start trying to think of things we can do outside.
Off.
And I'm sure everybody else is thinking the same thing, but we've just never been there. Everybody talks it up like it's great. But
it's amazing, but you definitely have to keep an eye out for the kids.
That's what I was concerned about.
There are slippery rocks everywhere, and you have to wear like water shoes. I mean, it's
natural.
It's natural. It is, I mean, you're out there. I always come home with bruises and scrapes. Oh. Yeah, it's pretty. Okay. I mean, it can get pretty rough, but there is a really cool area for little kids to just like play around and be in the cold water and have a good time with their parents. You just got
to
keep an
eye
out.
I'll give you a place. We used to go to camp. We haven't been there. We camped like before we had kids, which was like, now my daughter just turned 16. So this is like, I can't believe we haven't.
It's been 20 years.
I can't believe it's been this long. But my daughters are big Girl Scout campers. And well, now they've kind of graduated out of that. So we're talking like, okay, they're all capable of doing this now. So let's go camping again. I want to go back. So Missouri, I'll give a big shout out to Missouri. We do have such beautiful nature. And Brookdale Farms is, for instance, is set in this beautiful valley just south of Eureka with the big river going through it and all that. But Missouri has so many areas like that and incredible campgrounds. And we used to, back in the day, go down to Hawn State Park, H-A-W-N.
Okay.
Hawn State Park's about an hour and a half or so from here, I think, St. Genevieve area. Mm-hmm. Huge park, beautiful wooded campsites, cool glades and glens, quiet little creeks and streams and babbling brooks, clear water. Great little hiking trails, easy trails. You can do some hard trails. That's a nice place to mess around in nature and
like
get away from the city.
Swim and stuff?
I don't know if they have swimming or not. Okay. But it's places where you can like cool off in the cool streams and some of the more pure spring water mm-hmm. that Missouri has versus mm-hmm. the more bigger, dirtier rivers, you know, that we haven't got the muddy Mississippi, you know. Mm-hmm. But some of our spring fed streams and creeks are some of the clearest around, and they're really cool and cold, mm-hmm. you know. And so, I don't know, if I'm just looking for places to like go out and like get away from the city and the heat and all that.
So fun.
Hawn State, I'm a big fan of Hawn State Park because they have they have great restrooms, big, huge, clean, big showers, you know. And so you can do tent camping there for a night or two and still not be completely nasty, you know.
My dad just texted me, I need to take him to Pontoon Beach.
Oh. I've heard that's good, too.
No, it's a city built on a lie. There's no real beach there.
Okay, very good.
Okay, great. We solved that mystery.
Hey, we're going to talk to Mark Carter. We're going to try to get Mark Carter back on the line. Hopefully the NSA will not interfere this time when we come back. On the Annie Fry Show, our last segment, we'll spend it with County Councilman Mark Carter here on 97.1 FM Talk.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Friday. Tim Jones in the big chair all week. I really enjoyed my week this week with all you all. Thank you.
We loved having you.
Good stuff, yeah.
We always love having you,
it's
Tim.
Always good to be here. Let's see if we can have a conversation with Mark Carter without Nancy Pelosi cutting our lines this time. Here he is, County Councilman Mark Carter.
Hey, Tim. How you doing?
I'm good. Boy, the deep state got a hold of us, didn't it, on the last segment. So, yeah.
Well, I've got a phone that can, you know, launch missiles in southern Ukraine, but it only has 20 minutes of battery power. So
that's 2021 America, man. That's sure
incredible power they're giving you.
That's a great way to put it. So, St. Louis County Councilman Mark Carter, we were talking about the fact that we got this great piece of legislation there. Ryan and I kind of continued the conversation after we lost you there. But we were saying how, you know, the critics of this said, oh, the Missouri legislature is taking away local control. But, Mark, the opposite's true. You all on the county council, in a bipartisan fashion, you went to the Missouri legislature and you said, give us more local control so one petty tyrant can't ever do this to us again. Isn't that right?
Yes, and we did it in, you know, back channel ways and also front channel ways. And I think all people had to do is listen to the news and what was coming out of St. Louis for the last year and a half and find out that, you know, we needed help. And different legislators jumped on the bandwagon, Jim Murphy and others, and crafted different bills and tried to get it through the legislature starting last January. Mm-hmm. And it took till almost the end of May or beginning of May to get something compromised and acceptable to everybody in both houses of the legislature. So, and then it took almost a month for the governor to sign. So, you know, the sneaky thing that happened is as soon as Sam Page found out that, you know, the votes were against him in Jeff City, almost to the day or the day after, he started dismantling all the mandates, the local mandates. And so by the time this bill got signed by the governor, there's really not a lot for us to take care of as a county council. But we'll catch him the next time, and that's what this is about.
Yeah, so it just showed the fact that, you know, Sam Page had an emergency in his own head for 18 months, and as soon as this movement occurred, suddenly the emergency was apparently over.
Yeah, and it was almost, a movement. I mean, people got upset. People, you know, were coming to our meetings and tuning into our meetings on Zoom during this time and, you know, wanting to be released from this captivity that these mandates brought on. And then people were asking, well, why isn't, you know, St. Charles County or Jefferson County under these same mandates? And now if you look back at the numbers, on a per capita basis, St. Louis County didn't fare too well against our surrounding counties when it came to infection rates and deaths and things like that. So I don't know how much of it really worked. I mean, it probably worked for some people and some segments of the population and tested our resolve and tested our ability to respond to emergencies like this. But emergencies are just that and are not meant to be, year and a half long situations. And so I think this sends a message to every county and every election and every health board across the state that the people are now woke to what can happen when somebody decides to not let a good crisis go to waste.
I was talking to Tim when we lost you the first time, Mark, and he was explaining to me a little bit about how this really restores, even though it's a statewide bill, it restores more local control than even there was before by allowing the city council or the county council to be involved. And it sounds like the county council in St. Louis County would have maybe gone against Sam Page, but would this law have changed the way the city responded?
Well, it would have given the city board of aldermen some response there, too, against their health department. So it just puts another layer of accountability and citizen representation into these major bills. This is, you know, we have more checks and balances on whether you fix a pothole or not in some of these municipalities than we did about changing lifestyles during a pandemic. So I think this brings back more accountability, more checks and balances between the legislature and the executive branches of all governments out there. And it basically says, you know, you're going to think twice if you're a county executive before you take us to this level of reaction to an emergency going forward.
Speaking to St. Louis County Councilman Mark Carter. Mark, so what is Katie asked a great question during the break. She said, so what's Sam Page doing now? Like, it was all COVID. And as soon as the legislature smacked him down with the assistance and support of the county council, bipartisan movement on the county council, he's like disappeared. Was that it? Is he one trick pony? He's got nothing else. I mean, he doesn't want to like rebuild the economic devastation he's wrought now? I mean, what is Sam Page doing as county executive?
Well, he's on vacation this week.
Oh, so, how nice.
So I informed our chairwoman, Ms. Retta Days, that technically she's the county executive this week, but she goes, well, maybe I need to get upstairs and sign something. So we were kidding around about that. But the fact of the matter is, I think he'll get engaged with something else. We're going to see, I'm sure, new headlines between cooperation between St. Louis County and the St. Louis City. Some of it may be good. Some of it may not be so good. And I think the focus will be also switched to how are we going to spend the new government stimulus money coming down and the fight over, you know, how much and what bucket gets filled more of these funds going forward.
Yeah, you've got all this. It's funny, you know, especially here in Missouri and most of the red states, the world is kind of getting back to the old normal. People are moving on. But like the left doesn't want to let go of all this absolute power they were granted during the pandemic. And so you've still got all this. All these Biden bucks sloshing around, and a mark for our region here. It's what, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars that County Executive Sam Page and Mayor Tashara Jones have at their disposal to do what with at this point? How about rebuilding the economy in the region? But I bet you they've all got all kinds of great do gooder kind of new projects and proposals they'd rather spend it on.
Well, the city of St. Louis has been allotted $500 million.
Wow.
St. Louis County has been allowed about $190 million, and it comes in two tranches in yearly installments. So, it's a big, everybody's looking around going, you know, what are we going to spend this on? And when you can't really put your finger on what you're going to spend it on fairly quickly, that tells me you didn't need it to start with. Mm. So, I think that's what's going on in a lot of municipalities across the state and deciding, okay, this is a great amount of money, but what can we do with it? And there are specific uses for it and things you can't use it for. So a lot of it is a Chinese menu of all kinds of infrastructure and health issues and social issues that you can spend it on. And it's going to be interesting how the governments of the local municipalities are going to sit down and figure out how to spend this. So, but as our friend Margaret Thatcher said, that socialism is great until you run out of somebody else's money.
Truly, indeed. Mark, before I let you go, what would you like for the county council to work on next? I mean, we're coming out of the pandemic. People are going back to work. The traffic's definitely back here in the region. People appear to be, taking advantage of some of these, you know, 9 million job openings around the country that are available. Missouri's unemployment is plunging down, I think, to 4% or maybe even lower. So what would you like the county council to focus on now as we head through the latter half of 2021?
Well, I think we've got to get our own house together. We normally start working on next year's budgets in October and November. So that's going to be creeping up on us really, really fast. We got to figure out, with so many buckets of money, what is really our normal operating revenue and expenses for St. Louis County compared to being totally off the budget for the last year. We got to get back to figuring out how we move forward and the things we've done and things like that. So we've got to do a better job of planning and putting numbers together. I think it's going to be a big discussion, like I said, the next couple of years over this federal stimulus money and where it's going to go and trying to get the biggest bang for the buck out of that. And then finally, as you said, we need to get people back to work and want to get back to work, and we've got to take away the incentives to stay home. We need workers. We need workers at every level of the economy, from street sweepers all the way up to CEOs. We need people, and we got to get this done. And if we're going to stay a competitive nation and a competitive region,
Mark, we got to roll. But how can people get a hold of you if they need to if they have needs regarding the county council?
Well, just County Council email, which is mharder@stlouisco.com.
Fantastic. M. Harder at stlouisco.com. St. Louis County Councilman Mark Carter joining us here on a Friday afternoon. Mark, have a great weekend. Stay cool out there. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. See ya.
Yeah, take care. There he goes. All right. Well, look at that. 1 minute to spare.
Look at that.
See you guys later. Bye.
We did it.
Okay. Play the music.
What is that song?
No,
that song that we were, that last, when was it? Tuesday? When we were trying to figure out what was in Tim's head. I wanted to play
was
that
it the, the end credit song for Romancing the Stone?
Yes.
Or was it going to be Avalon by Roxy Music?
Avalon.
Now you know what that song is now, Katie. Yeah.
I know, but I did recognize it, but I just couldn't put the sound of what it sounded like in my head.
You guys got big plans this weekend?
I'm hosting Father's Day for the first time with my family.
Thanks for reminding me.
Happy Father's Day,
Ryan.
To you, too.
Thank you.
You too, Katie.
Father's Day. Thank you.
Katie, that's nice of you, Katie. That's very,
I'm excited.
Very good. Everybody going to try to hit the pool this weekend? Or
we're doing
off a little bit?
All-day soccer tournament tomorrow.
Happy Father's Day!
Happy Father's Day! Well,
my daughter has a recital, which means I'll be inside, thank God. I'm going to play golf with the gang out the Legends early in the morning. We tee off at 7:15, so we're going to beat the heat for that. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to all of our guests. Thanks to everybody here at 97.1 FM Talk. Thank you, Annie, for letting me sit in the big chair. Thank you, Katie and Ryan.
Thank you.
Jake and Carl and the whole gang out there who assisted with the show. Have a great weekend, y'all. Mark Reardon, the Mark Reardon Show, up next, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.